I'm sorry. Can I just quickly ask the name without your head? That is awesome. Where did you get that?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So kind of weird. I do a pro wrestling podcast called In Your Head in 2005, and that October we did a Halloween special. We're like, what do we call it? We said we'll call it Without Your Head, and then I enjoyed it. So Without Your Head went on. This is the 19th year.
Well, I love it. I don't think I've ever made a film where somebody didn't lose their head. So actually, that may be my favorite name of any journalism portal I've ever experienced.
Well, I appreciate that.
I love it. Yeah.
I'm going to leave this in the interview because I was a big fan of Sting. I got to see it on Scream Unseen and in the theater. And so I was there with my brother, and I was hoping it was Sting. And we kept seeing the trailers beforehand, and I was like, I bet they won't show the trailer of the movie we're going to see. And Sting never came up. I was like, this is a good sign, and it was Sting, because it was a mystery movie. You didn't know what it was going to be.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's so good that you even knew about it before you kind of went in. That's great. It always spins me out when people kind of – I'm an independent filmmaker from Australia, so whenever anybody actually knows that my films exist, I'm always very happy, you know.
So it was Eclipse today, and so hopefully no one goes and brings anything into the house that falls out of the sky, because in a few days things might go bad, as we see in Sting. All right. So what inspired the movie?
I have intense arachnophobia, because I don't know if you know anything about Australia, but like there's a lot of things over here that kind of want to eat you, you know, giant snakes that can kill you and giant crocodiles that can kill you and great white sharks that can kill you. And actually spiders the size of dinner plates that can kill you. We've got a spider over here called a funnel web that if you don't get to a hospital after it bites you within 3 hours, it will kill you. And I have intense arachnophobia. So my first reaction when I see a big spider is to cry. Like I have that reaction. I'm sorry really, to laugh really scared too, of them. Yeah. It's my wife laughs all the time. When she sees me, I'm screaming like somebody's grandmother, and she's like, dude, it's a spider. Come on, relax. But yeah, so I just turned that fear into a horror movie, you know, and the worst thing I could possibly imagine was a giant, shiny, black, redback spider the size of a jaguar dragging somebody into an air conditioning duct, you know?
Lyla, do you share that fear of spiders?
I actually don't, no. I like spiders, in fact.
You're perfect for the role, then, yeah.
Exactly. I really want to keep a pet jumping spider eventually. They're pretty darn cute.
And the movie didn't affect that. You're still a fan of spiders.
Yep, still love them.
And I'm still scared of them.
So the movie wasn't a good therapy for you.
No, if anything, it's worse now because I've got so many different. I had to do so much research and look at so much spider footage and pictures of spiders, and you know, I had to deal with Lyla Brown hiding our little like small stings around my director's chair. So I'm like, and I just hear this giggling from the other side of the studio. I'm like, God damn it, she got me again. You know,
yeah. In a weird way, do you think that helped you make in the movie, though? Because, like, you kind of know the things, like, that will scare you if you're afraid of spiders?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think if you have a real fear of something, it's always going to help if you're a horror filmmaker. Like, and it's funny because people think that horror filmmakers are going to be these tough people who are just like, I'm into death and I'm tough. And it's like, nah, man, like most writer directors of horror are like very sensitive people who were scared of the dark when they were kids. And so they just take that fear and they put them into films, you know?
Yeah. Lyla, what was it like to work with like the actual spiders, the practical effects?
It was incredible because I was able to call up Sigourney in a scene that was related to was kind of based on a scene from Alien 3, and I called up Sigourney and she said, you've got to react with the puppet, and you've got to see the puppet and you've got to get scared because of the puppet and observe it like a scientist. And I was only able to do that because there was a real puppet on set, and Kia was talking about how it interacts so well with the space around it, but also with all the actors. And in one of the scenes, I was terrified because of a dead animal that I get jump scared by. and I wouldn't have been able to be actually terrified as a Lila without actually having a model there. And I think it's a props to Kia for doing that, and it made it my job so much easier.
Yeah, well, I always think even as a viewer, you could tell that the weight is there, or something's there. Even if you can't pinpoint it, I think it kind of registers in your mind.
I've never worked with an actor before, Neil, who actually had Sigourney Weaver on speed dial.
I know, I was just thinking that. Like,
and so the whole crew and all the producers were like gathered around her going, shh, it's ringing, it's ringing. She's talking to Sigourney. What's she saying? What did she say? I was just like, guys, come on, I'm trying to talk. Yeah, she gave her really good advice. And I agree with you about the puppet thing. Like, digital is great, but it should be used very carefully and minimally, in my opinion. You should only use it when you absolutely have to. If you can have an actual physical prop or creature or puppet or actor even in a suit, I think it's better for horror, because horror is a tactile medium and you need that gravity and the weight. And, you know, the way that the puppet or the monster interacts with the light and shadow and condensation and rain, and actors, more importantly than anything, is the thing that teaches the audience, hey, this is actually happening. And, you know, then you get more scares, I feel, you know, more screams.
Yeah. I mean, I think even stuff I grew up with, even if it was like bad practical effects, it has a certain charm to it, that it's there. And
yet there's no charm to bad CGI. Yeah, there's no charm to it. It's just like, this is terrible. Cut this. Why did you put me through that crack? You know, whereas bad practical effects is super fun. It's really good. I mean, there is no better film, horror film, than the Holy Trinity of, you know, Jaws, John Carpenter's The Thing, you know, The Exorcist. They all utilize practical effects, and like nothing has been scarier or you know, more impactful to audiences, I feel, you know.
Yeah. I live very close to where they filmed Jaws.
Wow. Where was that again? Was that Martha's Vineyard?
I'm on Cape Cod, but Lila, are you a horror movie fan?
I always watch them. I've ended up watching quite a few horror films, but I always get scared by them. But, you know, it's worth it, because I feel like horror always has the most interesting and captivating stories. So I am a horror film fan, I could say, but also I get scared at the same time. So,
well, that can add to the enjoyment of it. And, you said about the story, but I a big thing about Sting is all the characters are very likable and interesting. And so when things start to happen, you're more invested in what's going on.
Yeah. I think that's a really good part that drew from his own personal experiences with his family. And I think that's what made the script so strong. And I mean, I think...
So not just the fear of spiders, some of the family stuff is from your life.
Yeah, he is a stepdaughter too, so, you know, kind of a parallel.
Yeah, I just templated my family, you know, it's me and my wife and my daughter, and we just had a baby at the time, so I just wrote them into a giant spider movie. So, yeah, I think the drama is real, so it feels real, you know. But even the sub-characters, you know, the exterminator and the two aunts and the
they're all
Korean science student, you know, you and Maria, you know, you want these people to feel well-rounded and interesting, so that when they start getting eaten, you care, you know. Like, there's nothing worse than a bunch of two-dimensional, really good-looking, you know, Instagram models being eaten, other than the fact that it's actually kind of nice to watch Instagram
and you're
models
just rooting for the spider at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And you want it to be a bit of both, you know. You need to care about the characters and be interested in them, so that when they are eaten, there's an emotional reaction beyond, oh my god, look at the blood.
You mentioned the character Eric, Danny Kim as Eric. I love this character. It's a smaller character in the movie, but he's like, there's just something. Well, he's obviously weird, but you kind of want to see more of him. So it really grabbed me, this character. And what was he like to work with?
Oh my god,
he came in. You love Danny. You guys got on really well. Yeah,
he's the best. He's so funny.
He seemed very dry sense of humor.
He's still angry at me for not helping him get off the ceiling, because I just
that's right, you just kind of took one look and then ran off. You went down with that, and he's like, I don't know, Yeah, no, Danny came in with a really interesting read. He did two auditions, one that was more standard, and then one where he was doing kind of, I guess, like he really lent into the whole autism of the character and gave a really interesting, almost emotionless American Psycho kind of monotone performance. And I loved it. And I was just like, that's what I want. I love that. Even the producers were like, really? That's a strong choice. And I'm like, yeah, well, see, he's a sub character. We're allowed to do those Kubrickian kind of moves. And yeah, just working with Danny was great. He's just a lovely guy, like a really genuine, beautiful person. Yeah, really good to work with.
Was that an actual apartment you shoot in, or is that a set?
It's a set, and the set, the rooms get changed with the set decorations to be different people's houses. So like
We
maybe
built, yeah, we built one apartment and then changed the decorations and the walls to become, I think, four different apartments. Yeah.
yeah, and then like Danny's or Eric's apartment was like for a small part of the shoot, and then we had to change it all again to be Charlotte's apartment, and then change it all again to be Sylvia's apartment, or Maria's, and yeah, it was very cool. It's so smart, like that. It's so smart here having like, because apartment like rooms are the same, and then it's smart to be able to just have one set being changed.
I have nothing to do with that intelligence. That's all scheduling, and that's all Fiona Donovan, who did all the apartment. But yeah, I just come up with the scripts and then they schedule it. But yeah, then they tell me, they're like, okay, we're going to build one apartment and then we're going to shoot all the family stuff. And then we're going to go over and we're going to shoot a bunch of stuff in Charlotte's bedroom, which is over here. And then we're going to do some air conditioning duct stuff while we spend those 2 days rebuilding the apartment to be, the grandmother's apartment. Then we come back in and we film all the grandmother stuff. And then we go back out and then, we shoot in the basement while we're trying to, so like you hop chronologically through the film, and then they're just constantly building, yeah, as you go.
I didn't even notice that, like, we went to the air conditioning duct when we had to rebuild something. Like, I didn't even realize that was like why it was scheduled. Too dumb. Crazy.
Yeah. So we're shooting Elila running through all the air conditioning ducts and going, can you guys stop hammering? Stop hammering. Action. But yeah, it's a trip, man. Like making a film is like, there's that classic metaphor of somebody placing train tracks while the train's coming behind you. Like that's how it is. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they did a great job because each of the rooms looks very different. They look lived in. There's a lot of peculiar stuff in there and adds a lot of character to the movie.
Yeah,
Well,
and it was.
yeah, it's just shooting a horror film is really complicated. You've got rain and smog and blood everywhere, and you're throwing people through walls. Like you can't do that in a real apartment, so yeah, it's
You
generally better
can,
to
but
just
you'd
build it.
probably get in trouble.
Well, in my first film, I did do it in my own house, and my wife's going, dude, can you clean the blood off the walls, please? It's been months and I'm still finding blood, and brain matter underneath the fridge, Yeah.
So, Alala, you're not afraid of spiders, but what were some of the hardest things to shoot? Like in the air ducts or something?
I actually really enjoyed the air conditioning duct. I remember,
You just like
like,
everything, spiders, air conditioning ducts,
yeah, I
Sure.
remember the day I called Sigourney. I was in Helga's apartment. I was looking into it from above, and that was like a really cool thing to shoot because the apartment's like so atmospheric, and I just got to crawl along this little air conditioning duct and just look through the grate. And it was really fun to shoot. I love the air conditioning ducts, but I had to be jump scared by a dead animal, and it terrified Elila, not Charlotte. So that was one of the hardest things to shoot, definitely. But, I mean, I did it, and the first take, I was way too scared for my character. I was screaming, and I just went off of the camera, and the camera couldn't see me anymore. But
Know. How many different sizes of spiders are in the movie? Because it grows real. Not to spoil, it's a thing.
yeah, well, there was a tiny one that later it was animated, but there was still a miniature spider that they like 3D printed it, and they like they stuck it in the back of my hand, for some framing. But I'm not sure if we actually filmed with the spider on my hand. Did we, Keel?
Yeah, we used the 3D printed one more for reference, and then we'd animate it later digitally. And then we had the giant one that Richard Taylor and Weta built that was like animatronic. Yeah, and that was massive. That was driven by like, I think, six different people, two puppeteers on four legs each, and then one puppeteer on the butt shoving it back and forth, and then one puppeteer remote controlling the mandibles and the mouth and, like, you know, the venom coming out of the mouth. We had claws that we clawed in the giant compactor scene at the end where it was clawing at Alila, and she's like, ah! That was just puppeteers, like, actually clawing her with these giant rubber claws. We had a sting head that we could shove at people to bite it, to bite them. We had a stunt spider that was just a rubber spider that we could throw at actors. And there's a scene in it. It actually made it into the trailer where we just literally threw a giant spider at Ryan Corr, and it totally worked. Yeah.
It grabbed him. The mold of the massive spider, but it's all just filled up with rubber. So
I love that, because not only do I love beheadings in movies, but I do like when people fight with inanimate objects. I always think that's very fun in filmmaking.
Yeah, there's a moment where the spider character bites somebody's head off in this, and that's probably one of my favorite moments in the film. It's just a huge geyser of blood explodes, and I'm just like, yeah, man, that's why I do this.
I don't remember knowing. I didn't realize that that's how the head was bitten off. I didn't realize it was bitten off. I thought something else happened. I never knew how the beheading happened. I just knew there was a beheading. But I remember reacting to
it. You're learning about your own movie here. Yeah. It
is. I know. I haven't seen the movie yet because I want to wait for
it. Oh, nice. Yeah, so I was going to ask about watching it with an audience, because I always think it's best to watch a movie, you know, in the theater when possible. But especially a movie like Sting, comedy, horror, like, that works best with an audience. And I had a great time. And honestly, the place was packed and everyone was reacting, I think, in the right spot. So have you had a chance either? Well, Alaya hasn't seen it, but Kaya, have you watched the movie with an audience yet?
I've watched it with test audiences, and it's not the same because they know they're going into a test. You know, it's like watching a film with like 100 critics, like their critical brain is on, so you're not getting like that pure audience. We haven't had the Australian premiere yet. That's next week. So I won't see it with an actual proper audience until next week. So I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm getting reports from all my mates over in America, you know, and people like yourself are telling me like, yeah, audiences are reacting. They're liking it. And they're jumping and screaming and doing all the things. And so I can't wait to watch it with an audience, you know, because I've only watched it with like filming people and editors and, you know, producers. And I can't wait to hear a genuine audience scream, you know. I hope we get a few.
This is a true story. Like I said, we went to Scream Unseen, and the woman next to me, she kept turning. I didn't know why. And after the movie, she said she has a fear of spiders. So when it was, she found out it was this movie, she wasn't exactly pleased, but she stayed throughout the whole movie.
Wow, that warms my heart, man. Thank you for that. So not only did I scare the crap out of a fellow arachnophobe, she had to stay. She couldn't leave. She's like, exactly. I hate this, and I have to know what happens at the end, because that's the perfect reaction. Yeah.
So not to get ahead of ourselves, but Kent, will we ever see a sequel to Sting?
What do you reckon, Lila?
Yes.
Yeah, all eight legs crossed. But I've written a treatment. So, like, yeah, I've got a treatment ready to go. And if Sting is alien, then the sequel will be aliens. So more spiders, more bang for your buck. And, you know, you'll have a Lila Brown running around with a flamethrower at some point, I guarantee.
Well, she's all excited, so that's cool. And you mentioned who actually designed the spiders? I know you mentioned earlier.
What?
Richard Taylor. A knighted genius who built Middle Earth and Avatar and King Kong and a lot of our favorite films.
Yeah, way back to I'm a big fan of him. I saw he worked on Dead Alive and Meet the Feebles and sort of.
He's so cool. Man.
Dead Alive, I think that was called Brain Dead in our country. Yeah. And one of the things he worked on, that was Peter Jackson more than Richard Taylor. But Bad Taste is one of my favorite films. And Yeah, Heavenly Creatures is amazing. Like, even when you look at just Heavenly Creatures, it's not a monster film per se, but man, like the production design of that is amazing. Like, he's just a genius. Like, and I got to work with one of my heroes, so yeah, he was lovely to work with, and yeah, it was great. You know, like I just went in and I'm like, Richard, I kind of just want to make it look like a redback, and he's like, I think that's a great idea, and you know, he's like, well, how about we put a boom dog's mouth on it with venom dripping out of the fangs, and I'm like, yes, can I have one of those? And he's like, yes, you can. And you know, it was such a great collaboration. We just laughed and loved each other the whole time. You know, we were just, yeah, I mean, I'm a horror film nerd, and he is a horror film nerd, and it was just really good to relate to him in that way, you know.
Yeah. Is it hard to know how much to show in the trailer or the poster of like the spider? Because like part of you don't want people to go and not know that it gets giant, but then you also want people to go see it. So.
I have nothing to do with that. Like, you know, the distributors send me an edit, and you know, I mean, I you know, they take on board some notes and stuff, but at the end of the day, that's up to them, you know, like they need to sell it. And yeah, it's one of my favorite things about the poster, actually, the key poster, you know, with Sting on the roof and Alila sitting in a lounge chair, you know, looking at Instagram or whatever she's looking at. That was just an image taken by my wife. She's a photographer, so she does a lot of the photography for my films, and she just took that picture, and that's the poster. Like, almost no, like they didn't even jiggery graphic design much of it. They just took her photo and just went, that's the poster. And so that was really gratifying, that like an image that I thought of that my wife took just ended up being the one sheet for the film, and I was just like, oh, that's great, you know.
Yeah, it's an awesome photo.
But yeah, I love the trailers are great. You know, there's two trailers out there. One tells a little bit more of the story, but like leans into the fact that this is a horror film and like this is what you're going to get. The other one's a bit more arty and jumps around a bit. I love them both. I think they're both fantastic trailers. I was really happy with what the distributors did for us. What do you reckon? Which is your favorite trailer, Alana?
My God, I love the one with the music. Oh my God, it's the one that's like, that starts having the kind of creepy old-timey music and then in like the beginning of it.
Yeah, that's a cracker, right? I think that's the UK trailer. Yeah, that's the more arty one, and like it leads into the comedy more. And then I think the US one is like leans into the horror more. So they're two very different ways to sell the film, and both completely on brand for the film. So I mean, I love them both. Yeah.
Sting opens April 12th. I really loved it, not just because you guys are both here. I actually really like the movie. And I think it worked. I think horror comedy, for them to really work, the horror has to work as horror too, and it works as both a horror movie and just a good movie. So people should check it out.
Thanks, Sam. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, and thank you both for doing the show. This was great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, and I say
Thank you,
hi to
sir.
Sigourney Weaver, and don't
Oh,
visit Australia according to Kaya. Things will go bad for you.
no, the beaches are fantastic, but you may be eaten by a great white shark. It's worth it though. Yeah.
All right, thanks. Ah!